you've ever struggled with having faith, wrestled with your past mistakes, or longed for a deeper relationship with Jesus, you're not alone. Bloom with Deb is a podcast for people seeking to grow spiritually and discover how God's grace gives us strength to face life's challenges. If you're ready to deepen your faith, join us as we biblically live out our mission. Welcome back to Bloom with Deb. Today we continue our study from Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 3. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the young women love you. As we continue to dive into this portion of Song of Songs, I want to show you the New King James Bible version that says, because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you. It's important to know why oils and perfumes were a necessity back then. They were used to mask natural odors because they did not have water on tap to take showers every day. Standards of personal hygiene were different since water for washing had to be carried a considerable distance in most cases. The Shulamite woman explains that his fragrance causes her to desire Jesus. Apparently, his fragrance causes heads to turn, and she's delighted that it should be so. The daughters of Jerusalem, referred to as virgins, are of marrying age and are also looking for a husband. They are genuine, yet immature believers who are just as in awe of God's love as the Shulamite woman. Because they are attracted to the bridegroom, they might be potential rivals to the Shulamite woman, but she is so secure in her relationship with God that she can afford to allow him to bask in their admiration. In biblical times, oils and perfumes weren't just luxuries, but necessities. As I said, they masked odors in a world without modern hygiene. In the same way, the presence of Jesus covers our weaknesses, our imperfections, and our past. His name, representing his character, is poured out like a costly perfume, filling the atmosphere with his love, mercy, and grace. The Shulamite woman in this passage recognizes the beauty of Jesus, and it ignites her desire to know him more. Even though others are drawn to him, she feels secure in his love. It's a beautiful reflection of how we as believers should see our relationship with Christ, rooted in confidence, not competition. So when we enjoy God, we are more inclined to obey him. She's grown in understanding more of God's character. The fragrance or perfume of God speaks of his affection, his personality, and his beauty. He has affection for his bride, the church, this is us, not because of something we do. It's all about who God is. Ephesians 5:2 says, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This reminds us that it's all about the sacrifice Christ made for us. Just as his name is like perfume poured out, we are called to spread his fragrance to the world. Have you ever smelled old potpourri? When it's fresh, it fills a room with a sweet aroma, but over time, it loses its scent. Potpourri is made of dried flowers that have a scent that fills your home, but in most cases, it only smells if you bury your nose in the bowl. Well, lately, I have found old potpourri for sale in thrift stores. The potpourri is so old, there is no scent left at all. As believers, we can lose our scent or passion for sharing God's message with others. In the same way, if we aren't actively living out our faith, we can lose our passion for sharing the gospel. While on staff with Crew, one of my favorite teaching opportunities was when I had the privilege of training over 250 middle and high school missionary kids how to share their faith at our staff conference in Colorado. I have a picture in one of my albums of them doing the hand motions we made up to teach the definition of successful witnessing, which is taking the initiative to share the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. Yes, I was doing the hand motions as I was reading that to you. Teaching young people to spread the gospel reminds me of 2 Corinthians 2:14 that says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere." Huh, aroma, here we go again. How is our aroma these days? Are we spreading the knowledge of him everywhere, or are we like dried up potpourri and not spreading any scent at all? Good question. So let's talk about carrying his name with honor. When the Shulamite says, "Your name is like perfume poured out," she's referring to his character. Did you know that a man's name represents his character? Jesus prayed for his followers. He even said, "Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me." Jesus knows the power in his name, and his desire was for all of us to be united, and he prays for protection over us. The Lord says, "I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name." Psalm 91:14. So think about this. This whole name thing is very, very important to me. When a bride changes her last name to carry her husband's last name, she takes on his reputation. Think about this. This is a tradition that really does have a purpose. A friend of mine got married recently and she was like, didn't want to change her name because she didn't understand the purpose behind it. I mean, if it's just a tradition, why do it? But this tradition has purpose. So I explained to her, a wife carries the weight of his name because she's representing him to the world. It is an honor and a privilege to take on a man's name and reproduce to create life that will become a legacy to continue for future generations. So just like children taking on their father's name, that's where legacy comes, and that's where future generations with the same name has come for centuries like this, right? So the maiden in Song of Songs is taking on her bridegroom's name and referring to it as a fragrant oil or perfume. She's proud to spread the aroma of her man, just as we are, to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Jesus everywhere, according to 2 Corinthians 2:14. When you become a believer, you became a Christian, which means a Christ follower. You are also anointed with his Spirit and demonstrate the character of Jesus to the world. It's a privilege to carry the name Christian proudly and represent Christ everywhere you go. This reminds me of why I don't put a Christian symbol sticker on my car, because I don't want to represent Christ based on how I drive. Now, I'm not that bad, and I haven't even been in accidents, and I've only got my first ticket when I was in my 40s, I think. So it's just one of those things I've been cautious about, because I know if I put this symbol on my car, people are going to think or expect me to drive a certain way. I don't know. So anyways, you are an ambassador for Christ. Ambassador means an informal representative. The Bible says you are a minister of reconciliation. It says we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:20. So think about that. Ambassadors representing, I'm assuming our ambassadors represent our country, our president, and they carry a huge weight of responsibility, and we are doing the same. That's exactly what God is calling us to do when we walk in his anointing. To live this out, we must clothe ourselves with Christ. Romans 13:14 says, rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. This requires intentionality. We must actively remove anything that pulls us away from God's presence. What do you think of when it says, make no provision? My weakness is Little Debbie snacks, especially the chocolate Swiss rolls. When I crave Little Debbie's, the key to not gratifying that craving is to not go to the store and buy them. If I am intentional about not buying them at the store, I will not be tempted to bring them home and eat them. See how that works? So if you struggle with food or any other temptation, make no provision for yourself to get it. Make drastic changes to avoid those places or people that might tempt you. Take whatever measures you need to sever ties so that source of provision is not there. It seems drastic, but we must do whatever it takes to protect ourselves from gratifying the flesh. The Lord is coming back for a pure and spotless bride. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us that temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. So when you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. What a great promise. From Priscilla Schreier's book, Fervent, she states, obedience to God garners intimacy and nearness, divine blessings and favor. Let me try that again. Obedience to God garners intimacy and nearness, divine blessings and favor. And disobedience creates a sense of distance and loss, grief and regret. The ripple effects of sin always affect our connection with the Father. Our enemy Satan is set on enticing us with temptation throughout our lives. We have the power to choose obedience over sin every time. I can choose to leave temptation at the grocery store with the Little Debbie snack cakes. We have a reason to celebrate the faithfulness of God's promises. So in conclusion, we discovered that the Shulamite woman desires Jesus because she is accepted even in her weakness. She feels totally accepted and secure even though the daughters of Jerusalem are attracted and drawn to him too. There's no competition. She grasps the revelation that Jesus has deep affection for weak yet sincere believers. The knowledge of Jesus' love ignites her heart to want to know God even more. She wants to partner with him in life and in ministry, much like a wife wants to partner with her husband. Bert's proposal that I referred to earlier is much like the way Christ is asking you to partner with him. Are you willing to go above and beyond in sacrifice, love, commitment, courage, and the calling that proposal requires? Let's close in prayer together today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the fragrance of your name that draws us closer to you. Just as the Shulamite woman delighted in your presence, help us to desire you more each day. May our lives be a reflection of your beauty and truth. Lord, protect us by the power of your name and anoint us to walk as your ambassadors. Keep our hearts passionate, our faith fresh, and our witness strong. Help us to spread the aroma of your love to everyone we encounter. Thank you for covering us in Jesus' anointing, and may we remain covered all the days of our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, friends, thanks for listening to episode 6. We be sure to subscribe so you don't miss what's coming next. Let's walk this journey together, growing in faith, grace, and purpose. Jesus loves you more than you can imagine. Until next time, keep blooming. Thanks for joining the Bloom with Deb podcast. If you want to dive deeper into the meaning behind Song of Songs, check out my Bloom book series available on Amazon. The first book is Learning to Bloom, and the second is Time to Bloom. Great to read on your own, but even better when you gather your friends and use the discussion questions provided for each chapter. If you have questions you want answered on the podcast, email me at bloomwithdeb@gmail.com. See you next time.